children to have, but they had to trust him. They had to walk with him. They had to not be afraid. In the midst of a giant, they had to stand there and say, my God is greater than you. The fear that is stalking you, can you truly say, whatever it is, my God is greater than you? Jesus, through his ministry, moved through all those areas, dispelling fear. Think about the disciples as they were out on the boat. Remember that? Jesus told them, said, you guys go on down there and get in the boat. Head on over to the other side. You think Jesus knew what was going to happen? Think Jesus knew what was going to take place? The answer is emphatically yes, he knew. The storm kicked up. His disciples, his followers were afraid. Remember, it said they were fearful. That was a bad storm. You had seasoned seamen that were out there who were afraid of this particular storm. And I still picture what it must have been like when all of a sudden in the midst of the storm, here comes Jesus walking across the water, maybe whistling. He wasn't having any trouble. He wasn't fearful of anything. And yet they were clinging to that fear. You know, as much as Peter messed up along the way, when he messed up in style, but when he succeeded, he succeeded in style too. Remember, he looked and it said, he saw Jesus out there walking on the water. And he asked him, Lord, is that you? He said, if that's you, let me come out there where you are. You know what Jesus said? Come on. Listen, do we have enough courage in the midst of our fear to say, Jesus, if that's you, it's a little scary between me and you, but can I come over where you are? And by the way, that would be a great thing for you to do. If you are in fear, you need to get where Jesus is. Jesus said, come on, Peter. And amidst the storm and the waves, Peter got out of the boat. I love that particular passage. I'm still trying to picture what it must have looked like. I want to get the replay of that when I get to heaven. I want to ask Peter, Peter, what was that like, man? When Jesus said, come on, did it take you by surprise? Were you not expecting that? And then all of a sudden you had to put your money where your mouth was because the other 11 were watching. As Peter put his foot out and then realized that this is cool. By the way, that ought to be a theological term. When you step out in faith and you feel the presence of the Lord holding you up, you ought to get that biblical passage called, this is cool. Because it is. And Peter made his way to Jesus. Now, there's something else that we need to know about fear in that regard. Peter did fine as long as he focused on Jesus, didn't he? As long as he kept his eyes on the Savior, he was above the water. He was making his way there. Why all of a sudden, when he got near the Savior, did his fear kick back up and his faith waver? Why do I say his fear kicked back up? Because you'll notice in that particular passage what it says was that as Peter got near to Jesus, he began to look at the wind and the waves around him, and he said, ooh. I don't know if that's an exact quote, but this is scary. I'm not supposed to be able to do this. And it wasn't until his faith wavered that he began to sink. Now, he did so when he was in such proximity to Jesus that Jesus was able to reach down and pick him up and raise him back up. Folks, where are we in proximity to Jesus today? Let me make this promise. Fear is going to try to haunt you even when you are in the midst of Jesus. But yet Jesus will be there to lift you up. Jesus' ministry on this earth was about going through and dispelling fear in the lives of those that he came in contact with. Think about Mary and Martha. They feared that they would never see Lazarus again. And yet Jesus changed the course of their life. What kind of fears are we having this Christmas? You know, this has been truly a year that has caused people to stop and thank, and in a lot of cases be thankful in areas that maybe we had taken for granted in the past. This is a year that people are truly regarding health as a gift from God. Amen? Yeah? How many times? You hear people say that all the time. Oh, thank the Lord, I've got my health. This year has been one that has called our attention to that. This is a year that has called our attention to family, as the Lord, through the midst of COVID-19, has given us more quality time with our family. How many of you all can say that since March, you've had more quality time with your family? You've had that opportunity. Now, what, I didn't ask you what you made of it. Now, that's not to say there wasn't, you know, fur that flew a couple of times around the house. But nonetheless, you've had more quality time to spend with your family. What about our world conditions? People are fearful over the condition of our world. People are fearful over our economy. People are fearful over life, more so as we wind down the year 2020 than I've ever known people to be. How about you? You know why? Because of the uncertainty. Isn't that what it is? There's fear because of uncertainty, and yet the whole time Jesus says, I have a plan for you. A plan to prosper you, not to do you harm. I have a way for you, and it's a perfect way. And all we have to do is get on His way. And don't worry about the rest of it. Don't worry about the details. Don't worry about the thing that seems like this huge cavern in front of you. By the time you get there, Jesus will make a way, period. I believe that God is looking for our obedience more so than our fear. When I think about a passage like this, I'm reminded back when Israel finally did get to go into the promised land. Remember what that was like? Remember what God told them? God said, yeah, you get the priest of the tribe of Levi, you get up the Ark of the Covenant, you go down there, and you're going to cross the Jordan. He didn't give them all the specifics about it, but we know that when we're reading the Word of God, that as a priest, you know, He's called me to be a preacher, so I kind of put myself in that particular passage there as one of those carrying the ark. And I can imagine being with my brethren, and we're walking toward the Jordan, and if we're getting closer, and we're saying, do you see God doing anything over there yet? No, you? Nope. We're still walking. Now we're 20 yards away. You see an opening where we're supposed to go? No, I don't see one. Do you? No. Now we get up there, we're 10 yards away. It's like, did we miss the spot? No. Keep going. Don't stop. Oh, see, most of us know that story because you remember what happened was it wasn't until the feet of the priest touched the water of the Jordan that it separated. Listen, how many of you here this morning, how many of you watching today are standing on the edge of the Jordan? And you're afraid to stick your toe in the water. You're waiting on God to do something incredible, and He's already told you, just step in. He's waiting on your move of obedience to bless you beyond anything you could imagine or anything that you could comprehend. But you gotta get your feet wet. Stop being afraid. For when their feet touched the waters receded. You see, we've got to get the mindset of these priests that we're on a journey for the Lord. And when the Lord says, go into the promised land, I want you to go this way. See, they had all the instruction. Don't sweat the details. Well, there's a river in front of us. That's not my problem. Have you been able to do that in your life? There's been a few times in my life where I've done that. I've set out on a journey. Some of those times have been here. And there's been a monumental task in the way. And I've been able to say, that's not my problem. It's not my job to move the mountain. It's my job to start in that direction and keep this compass heading straight towards the Lord. It's His job to clear the path. And let me make you a promise. I can promise it from the Bible. I can promise it from you personally that when you do that, 100% of the time, God will make a way. He always has. He always will. The announcement to the shepherds was an announcement of the end of fear. Because, folks, faith is the opposite of fear. We are saved by faith, and we are kept by faith, not by fear. Never do you see where the Lord says to have fear, with the exception of where he says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. And that fear is not like being scared. It's like fear in a reverence manner. Reverence the Lord, fear him, and depart from evil. That's what he's saying to us there. So it was the end of fear, but it was also the beginning of joy. In verse 10, he says, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. As we think about that, are we having joy in our life? Not just at Christmas time, but every day. Christmas is such a joyous time, isn't it? I know I sit back every Christmas and I think about Christmases past. I think about how different things are. I think about this year. It's almost a little sad because every year at Christmas, I'm always taken back to growing up in and around the church, growing up in and around Christmas programs and cantatas and being able to serve the Lord in that way or being able to worship him through those means and messages that come forth. And this year, we haven't been able to do that. It's seemed a little hollow, hasn't it? Seems like it's just a little hollow. We haven't been able to gather together and have some hot coffee or hot chocolate or hot cider. We haven't been able to go out and Christmas carol and sing of the joys of our Lord. We haven't been able to really put our arms around each other and give each other a hug and say, man, listen, I want you to know I love you. Everything about this year has been about trying to disconnect us. And by the grace of God, we're praying that as we go forward, that Satan will not succeed in doing that. And yet God will unite us in a way better than he's ever done before as we head into this new year. The songs of Christmas remind us of joy. Why? Why was there joy? Because the Savior has been born. The long-awaited Savior has been born. Because the Scriptures have been fulfilled and because Christ is the Lord. Folks, that right there in and of itself is enough that we should that should bring joy to our lives each and every day that we get up. Let me tell you what I know. Some of y'all out there may be listening, maybe here, and you sit back and say, man, life right now is upside down. It's crazy. It's topsy-turvy. Well, here's the good news. This ain't it. For all you English majors out there, I'm sorry. This ain't it. There's a better place that's waiting for us. There's a home in heaven designed just for you and me, built specially for you. Isn't that great? And the Lord says, we're only here for a small time. The word says, but a vapor that appeareth for only a short while and then vanisheth away compared to all of eternity. This is like staying one night. Our life is like staying one night in a hotel room compared to all of eternity. You know what I love about that? You can go into a hotel room and you can rearrange it all you want to, but it's still not home, is it? You can move that bed, you can move that dresser, you can rearrange things, you can make housekeeping get all upset when they come in the next day because you completely turned that room around. You can make it feel a little bit better for you, but it's not home. It's not home. There's a home awaiting us through Jesus Christ. Not only was it the end of fear, not only was it about bringing joy, but it was also the beginning of evangelism. I want you to look with me once again at these particular passages, and particularly verse 15. It says, and so it was, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Put yourself in the scenario. They were afraid when they saw the angel. The angel comforted them and said, don't be afraid. Announce the birth of Christ. And then when it went away, you didn't hear him say, well, that was odd. That was different. That was unusual. No, what did they say? We got to go check this out. We've got to go see what's taking place. We've got to go see what's going on. Think about it in this way. We've talked about through this Christmas season, we've also talked about the Magi. We've talked about the fact that they saw something in the sky that was completely different than they had ever seen before. Something that drew them The Lord that drew them to follow until they found him on that journey of some 2 years before they found him in the house, and they followed the star, something completely unusual. Now, a lot of you, if you've paid any attention to current events whatsoever, know that tomorrow there's going to be this event that's going to take place that hasn't happened in 800 years. They call it the Christmas star, the Bethlehem star. So I believe it. If y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but about 45 minutes after dark, you should be able to see something that's unusual because of the alignment of the stars and the planets. You'll be able to see what is referred to as the Christmas star. So you haven't seen it before unless you're over 800 years old, and I don't think Methuselah's around. So it's worth checking out. Maybe you can get an idea of what the Magi saw, because it should be something so unusual that it will draw your attention. It will be unlike anything else that you'll see in the sky. Something unusual drew the Magi to follow, to stay with the course. The educated ones that had to be even more dedicated. The educated in one area and uneducated in another area. But something drew them. Folks, that's the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, and so it was that when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. They dropped everything they were doing. Sometimes it's hard for us just to rearrange our schedule to put God first. Now, I know this steps on some toes. God's not asking you for a piece of your life. He's asking you for all of your life. He is asking that you make him the number one priority. Now, let me make you another promise, and I can make this promise because the Word of God says I can. When you put God as your number one priority, everything else will fall in place. I promise you that. When you put God number one in your schedule will have ample time to do what needs to be done. When you put God number one in your giving, there will be plenty of money for you to do what God is allowing you and wanting you to do. I promise you that. How can I make that promise? He made that promise himself. He said, try me. If you don't think so, give me a try. Come on. Bring it on. I like that. God, are you going to take care of me? If I really am faithful to give you back that 10%, are you going to be faithful? Come on. Give me a shot. Watch my smoke. Watch what happens. It says that, verse 16, that as the shepherds went, verse 16, and they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, I love these two verses that follow. Have you been introduced to Jesus? Have you trusted him? Have you seen his greatness? Have you seen his value? Have you given your life over to him? Because when you do, you will do the same thing that the shepherds did in verse 17. It says, now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. They went out and told other people. Remember what I said a moment ago? It was not only the end of fear, it was not only a time of joy, but it was also the beginning of evangelism. Right here it is. When they saw what they saw, they went and told everybody. Have you ever been so excited? Well, I know, I don't even need to ask this question. Many of us have been so excited about things taking place and going on before that we can't wait to tell someone, right? Have you ever told a perfect stranger something joyous that happened in your life? Yeah, they have no idea what's going on. You're like, you're not going to believe it. It happens at ball games all the time. You'll see people hugging on one another that don't know each other from Adam's house cat. They'll do it not thinking. They'll be like, eh! Oh, sorry about that. Why? Because they had the same color hat on. Because something took place on the field. Because something took place on the court. Because something took place on the diamond. Listen, folks, something greater took place in life, and it was when Jesus took his first breath. God made man. It was announced to the shepherds, but he was put in a stable. One of the greatest days on earth. Prophecy ramped up. Salvation on its way to being fulfilled based on what prophecy said. It says, and when they came, after they saw the babe, they went out and told everybody, when you met Jesus, Jesus says this, I want you to go tell everybody. I want you to go tell people. I want you to tell your family. I want you to tell your friends. I want you to tell your neighbors. Why is it that we struggle with that? Why is it that we don't have any problem celebrating a ball game? We don't have any trouble talking about our raise at work. We'll tell anybody, it will overjoy us. We will broadcast that from the highest roof. But when it comes to the greatest thing in our Savior Jesus Christ, we sit back quiet. Jesus said, how will they know unless they hear? How will they hear unless someone tells them? And guess who he says, I want to tell them? That's me. That's you. Tell them. The Lord says, I've got a great banquet prepared. Go and invite everybody to the banquet. Are you coming? I've got a place. I have been, how many of y'all have been to a swanky place before where your name was at your plate? How many of y'all just lie? You have. At least somebody. It might have been grandma's house and she folded a card, but she put a name on your plate. Everybody has done. And you know what? Because there's something special about that. They'll tell you, when you go in, you're at table 4. There's a place for me. And then I walk over to table 4, and when I get to table 4, I start looking and these little cards are all around. And I'll see, Pastor Roy Carter. That's what it's usually written. And beside that will be Mrs. Jana Carter. And beside that, Mr. Blake Carter. All three of us have a place. And there's a plate there for me. And there's a water glass. And there's silverware. And there's a napkin. And there's all the good stuff. There's a basket of bread. There's a salad, there's different dressing, and then somebody's going to come around and they're going to take care of me at this place. But this is my place. Some of you have come to church before, and you may not have said it, but you walked in and you said, somebody's sitting in my seat. So we get used to being in some place, but we kind of stake down a little bit of ownership. Who is that sitting in my seat over there? I tell you, it would freak me out if I came in here and JC wasn't sitting center court. I know where to look for him. And I love that. Folks, listen, God's got a place at the table just for you. Have you accepted the invitation? You know, it's interesting enough that this is an RSVP party. He has sent out the invitation. He's saying, will you trust in my son? And when you accept Jesus Christ, you will RSVP to the greatest eternal life that's ever been known or ever will be known. The beginning of evangelism. Are we spreading the word? Are we inviting those that we know and love to the greatest party that has ever been? One that was bought, one that was paid for with a price, the shed blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It says, now, verse 17, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They were sitting there going, really? You're kidding me, man. I'd like to see that. I'd like to know what's going on. I'd like to have it. I'd like to have Jesus as part of my life. And maybe today that's you. If it is, there's good news for you. The good news is that Jesus is passing through your heart right now. He is passing through this multi-purpose building. He's passing through the parking lot and the lawn. He's passing through the sanctuary. He is passing through your living room. He's passing through your automobiles. Wherever you may be right now, the Holy Spirit is tapping your heart. Listen, I can make you a promise. If you've listened to this message and you are an unbeliever, the Holy Spirit is knocking at your heart's door. The question is, will you let him come in? Will you be like Peter and get out of the boat and go to Jesus? Will you say, Lord, I'm done with this life. I'm giving it to you. You take care of it. Lord, bring me home. I want something better. and I know that it's you. I'm a sinner. You're my Savior. Listen, have you done that? Have you given your life to him? If not, and that's what he's put on your heart, just simply bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, today I know I'm a sinner. I know you died on that cross for me. I know you rose again. I know you're coming back. Lord, forgive my sin. Save my soul. In Jesus' name. Listen, I want you to know there's nothing magical about that prayer other than the fact that it's a confession before God through Jesus Christ. And right now, I can imagine the rejoicing of all the saints in heaven as you gave your life to Jesus. They know. They're watching you. They're seeing it. They're seeing the book of life opened and your name written down. The reservation book in heaven just got your name, and that is a joyous affair. We want to rejoice as well. If you trusted Christ, please let us know so that we can help you as you follow him. If you're part of our online audience, please contact us through our Facebook page, through the website. Give us a call, stop by, whatever it may be. If you're here, please let us know. We would like to be able to help disciple you along the way to grow in our Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here today and you've just realized that you've been doing it all by yourself. You're like, I got this, and you've put God on the back burner. He's just hanging out over there. You've let fear overtake you. You're trying to do it yourself, and the mountain is monumental that's in front of you. Yeah, it is. And you sit back and say, I can't climb that mountain. I'll agree with you, you can't. And so will God, but God will say this, if you give it to me, you won't have to climb the mountain. I'll just move it for you. Something you can't do yourself. Are you going to give him the mountains today? Are you going to experience the joy that the shepherds experienced? Maybe you just need to say, Lord, I realize I'm not walking with you today. You've called me home. Today I ask for your forgiveness. Lord, I'm coming home. Wrap your arms around me. Forgive my sin. Restore me to the joy of salvation. In Jesus' name. And listen, if you just prayed that prayer, the Lord, if there's true repentance in your life, if you've turned the other direction, he has forgiven you. You have been washed as white as snow. Now get yourself on back into the presence of Jesus to experience the joy that only comes from him. So that the third thing we mentioned today will be paramount in our lives, that we will go and tell others. What a joy to celebrate the birth of our Savior. This not only this year, every year. Listen, we need to celebrate it every day. What are the decisions that you have made today before the Father? I'm going to ask Jim and Amy if they would come on up, take their place. They're going to play a time of invitation for us. It's a time for you to spend those moments with our Heavenly Father. It's a time for you to solidify the decision that you have made for him today, whether it was to return to him or whether it was to accept him. I'm just asking you to spend that time, these few moments in prayer, as Jim and Amy come and play for us. In an attitude of prayer, would you pray with me? Amen. God is good. I say it again. God is good. And all the time. God is good. Just like they told, just like the angels announced to the shepherds, we announce to you today, come and see, then go and tell. Will you do that? Not only this Christmas, but every day of our lives. Let me give you a couple of things, then I'll ask the blessing upon our offering, but just a couple of things that are coming up this week. I want to remind you that even though we did not have an opportunity to have our annual Christmas play and dinner or a cantata or anything like that, you're not going to go away this year without having something. We're grateful for Jim Kreider and the Wind Ensemble, the CBC Winds, who took the time to put together a Christmas concert and readings from the birth of Christ out of the scriptures. That is going to air tonight at 7 o'clock on our Facebook page. For those of you who are watching right now, that's going to be right here, 7 o'clock p.m. That's going to air. You'll want to join us for that, all your Christmas favorites as the band plays them for you. So gather around our virtual Christmas concert with Brother Jim as well as the CBC Wind Ensemble. 7 p.m. tonight. Also, this coming Christmas Eve, the 24th, we do plan to have our Christmas Eve communion service. We picked two times to do that. It will be 6 o'clock p.m. It'll also be at 6:30 p.m. As you know, this is not to spend a whole lot of time. It is just to come in. It is time for us to take communion and to truly remember why we celebrate the Christmas season. So it's communion. If you've got family in from out of town, bring them. It's just going to be a few minutes. Now, for those of you who aren't getting out, we will do our 6 o'clock p.m. service live. All this is going to take place in the sanctuary. So if you're going to be home, we encourage you to join us. If you're in the area or even if you're here today, let us know. We will get communion elements to be able to send home with you so that you can join us by way of virtuality for our Christmas Eve communion. 6 o'clock or 6:30 this coming Christmas Eve. I don't even remember what day it is. Is that Thursday? Thursday's Christmas Eve? Thank you. Thursday's Christmas Eve. So the 24th, 6 and 6:30 right here. The only other thing is a reminder that next Sunday we will go to our church conference to approve our 2021 budget right after we get finished with our Sunday morning message. We have copies of the budget are out if you're joining us virtually. Can't be here, but are a church member, would like a copy of the budget, you can contact the church office. We will email you a copy of that. Right now, we're trying to work out logistics for those who may not be able to be here, a way to contact us or a way to gather and join our service virtually by way of WebEx. We're still getting logistics worked out on that, but we'll let you know if we get the logistics worked out to be able to do that. Otherwise, as always, it's going to be a yes or no vote, just like we've done throughout COVID. We are encouraging you, strongly encouraging you, pick up a copy of that budget. If you have questions, contact the finance team with your questions so they can get that answered for you. Their contact information is on the budget, right, Debbie? It's on the budget. So pick one of those up. If you have a question, don't wait until next Sunday. Everybody's belly's going to be growling. Everybody's going to be wanting to go to lunch. We'll try to get your questions answered as quickly as we can, probably before the conference. So contact finance on that. That vote will be next Sunday at a called church conference to approve our church budget for the 2021 year. Did I leave anything out? All righty. With that, just a reminder for folks that we do have our offering receptacles placed at the door. If you're in the sanctuary, the plates down front. We'll have a table out in the either in the north outside, under the portico for those that are outside. You can just drop your offering here. Thank you so much for being faithful, for your giving, that the Lord's word would continue to be spread, not only here in Oak Ridge, but throughout the county, the state, as well as abroad. You have done so, so well. We're hoping everybody has a wonderful, safe, healthy Merry Christmas. I look forward to seeing you on Christmas Eve for our communion. I'm going to ask this. Jana, if you would, go ahead and get some of the little cups. They're in Debbie's office, that box. If you're going to be leaving today, know that you won't be with us on Christmas Eve but want to join us virtually. You can pick up your communion elements. They're sealed. Jana will have these right outside the door. You can grab those on your way out. And we're just praying God's going to bless everybody. Thank you so much, Jim, Amy, Tammy, for blessing our hearts today. in song. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we're dismissed. Father God, you are so good to us, and we thank you for just being who you are. Thank you, Father, for showing up as that babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Lord, making yourself available to all, not just some, but all. Lord, today I'm grateful for salvation. Father, I experienced that joy in my life of Jesus, and Lord, I just ask that you help me to truly go out and express that to everyone that I know, that they may too come to the party that you've lined up called salvation and eternal life in heaven. Lord, today we thank you so much that you have blessed us and you have provided. You've given us jobs. You've given us financial resources. And you just ask us to be faithful to give you back such a small portion. Help us to be faithful to do that now, that your work might continue on. So, Lord, we do turn everything over to you because it's all yours anyway. Give us a great week. Bless us and bless someone else through us as we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you on Christmas Eve.